And welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis, and there's more important information coming up, so please keep that pencil and recycled paper handy, and we're going to get into some more announcements here. The first one is a wilderness alert. Stop logging in potential wilderness. The Forest Service is putting together a plan to log in the wild and beautiful Monash Meadows potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. The logging project will eliminate the area's eligibility for wilderness designation and thus leave it vulnerable for future degradation. Your help is needed to stop this wasteful and irresponsible project. The project calls for logging conifer trees on 35 acres around Jackass Meadow, about 28 miles north of Kernville, in a portion of the Fish Creek watershed. The meadow contains a grove of both conifers and aspen. In an effort to make this project seem environmentally friendly, the Forest Service is calling the project the Jackass Aspen Wildlife Habitat Improvement Project. I think the jackasses are the people who proposed this one. In fact, this logging project is simply an attempt to commercially cut trees without having to follow the law. The Forest Service is claiming this is not a logging project and is therefore they are not required to document the environmental impacts. Likely story. The project would have detrimental effects on this potential wilderness area. The area around Jackass Creek has already been thinned too much. Thinning is a type of logging in which some of the trees in an area are selected and then cut. This plan would thin more of the area, including inside the potential additions to the South Sierra Wilderness, and reduce the tree canopy so much that the risk of catastrophic fire would increase. Also, the Forest Service has not disclosed to the public where in Jackass Meadow the thinning would actually occur or how close to Jackass Creek, Fish Creek, or the Jackass National Recreation Trail trees would be cut. Act now. Please send a letter to the Sequoia National Forest today asking them to cancel their plans to log in this potential addition to the Southern Sierra Wilderness. Here are some points to highlight in your letter. Jackass Creek is within a potential addition to the South Sierra Wilderness. The remaining untouched portion of this watershed is still wild and deserving of permanent protection that wilderness designation could provide. The logging project would eliminate the area's eligibility for wilderness designation and thus leave it vulnerable to future degradation. 2. This thinning project is nothing more than an attempt to commercially log trees without having to do environmental documentation. Since this is indeed a logging project, the full environmental impact statement should be done. This project would have negative impacts not only on the existing wildlife and habitat, but also on the fire conditions of this high Sierra meadow. Thinning even more trees from the Jackass Creek watershed would reduce the tree cover, allowing the underlying plants to become drier and more likely to burn. Here's what you do. Send your letter to Judy Schutza, S-C-H-U-T-Z-A, District Ranger, Cannell Meadow Ranger District, that's K-A-N-N-E-L-L. Attention, Kathy Roach, Sequoia National Forest, P.O. Box 9, Kernville, California, 93238. That's Judy Schutza, District Ranger, Cannell Meadow Ranger District. Attention, Kathy Roach, Sequoia National Forest, P.O. Box 9, Kernville, California, 93238, and the deadline for your letters is December 31st of this year. If you have any questions about this issue or comments, please contact Tina at California Wilderness Coalition. Her number, 530-758-0380. That's 530-758-0380. Or you can send her email at tina@calwild.org. That's tina@calwild.org. What have you got for us, J-Man?
Here we go, Dennis. Mexico moves to protect the monarch butterfly reserve. Millions of migrating monarch butterflies returning to central Mexico this month will share the hills with 60 new inspectors assigned to stamp out illegal logging that threatens the animal's habitat. The inspectors will patrol the forests and roads of the nature reserve where colonies of the orange and black butterflies coat trees from November to March, checking logging permits. Jose Campillo, head of Environmental Enforcement Agency Profefa, said this week 60% of the forest in the protected monarch butterfly biosphere reserve has been cut in the last few decades, threatening to destroy the wintering and reproduction lands of the monarch. Tens of millions of monarch butterflies fly from Canada every year in a stunning migration that scientists still do not fully understand. Most congregate in the reserve, which was expanded last year to 133,400 acres from 39,540 acres. The reserve attracts tourists who gawk at trees dripping with butterflies and the air thick with the flying animals. What many of the tourists do not see are the hundreds of logging trucks and sawmills in the region around the reserve. Located in the central states of Michoacán and Mexico, Campillo says many of the logging outfits are illegal, financed by urban-based businesses to make furniture and feed a huge local market for wooden boxes and pallets in the fruit and vegetable industry. In two operations so far this year, Profefa agents and police seized 103,000 cubic feet of wood, mostly in log forms, enough to fill some 300 trucks. They also seized 20 trucks, 140 sets of logging equipment, and closed 15 mills. Yeehaw! Now the agency is making the operation permanent and 24 hours a day. We want to achieve a total sealing off of the biosphere reserve to avoid passage of illegally harvested wood and of wood being transported with false papers, said Javier Mayen, a top Profipa official. Inspectors will respond to reports of the sounds of cutting or other complaints of logging activity and will stop trucks on roads and check for logging permits. There are 346 legitimate logging permits for the reserve area, with a total authorized volume of 3.8 million cubic feet of wood a year. In the past, loggers have used fake permits or abused genuine permits, but Campillo said new, difficult-to-counterfeit permits will make that tougher. The Mexican government and the World Wildlife Fund, which has a monarch butterfly project in Mexico, will help families dependent on logging activities to find other work, including forest preservation and reforestation. This story was by Fiona Ortiz of the Reuters News Service.
And here's an announcement of an upcoming concert by the Casey Neal Trio. They'll be appearing on December 13th, that's a Thursday evening, next week actually, in Bellingham, Washington at the Wild Buffalo, the address 208 West Holly. And if you want more information, try www.wildbuffalo.net. And then on Friday, December 14th, Casey will appear in Seattle, Washington at the Bitters Company, 513 North 36th in the Fremont neighborhood, and 206-632-0886 for more information. That number again, 206-632-0886 for more information. And if you miss Casey Neal, well, that's your problem, buddy. We told you about it.
Thank you, Dennis. Comments needed on the South Dakota Black-tailed Prairie Dog Management Plan. The South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks and Agriculture have extended the period for taking written comments on the South Dakota Black-tailed Prairie Dog Management Plan to December 21, 2001. Dowd Stuckel of the Games, Fish, and Parks said the department has extended the deadline because they have been flooded with comments from people that mistakenly believe the state plan will designate prairie dogs as a federally protected species. Our goal is to provide adequate management at a state level that will keep what could be very restrictive control out of the hands of the federal government. Uncle Dennis recommends that you write and support the strongest possible protection for the prairie dogs. South Dakota is trying to whip out and approve of watered-down protection plan when what they really want to protect is private landowners. Support the prairie dogs and the ferrets that depend on them. You can write to the Prairie Dog Plan, that's at the South Dakota Department of Game, Fish, and Parks. Their address is 523 East Capitol Avenue, that's 523 East Capitol Avenue, Pierre. That's P-I-E-R-R-E.
I guess it's just Pierre.
Okay. I didn't do good in French. I did better in Spanish. South Dakota. And their zip code is 57501. Telephone number, 605-773-3000. 3381. That's 605-773-3381. And email some information to wildinfo, WILDINFO, at gfp.state.sd.us. That's gfp.state.sd.us.
New evidence confirms cougars live in Michigan. A report from Michigan Wildlife Habitat Foundation concludes DNA evidence offers irrefutable proof that cougars roam the woods of the Upper Peninsula and the Northern Lower Peninsula in Michigan. Well, for many years, literature from the State Department of Natural Resources indicated the last Michigan cougar was killed in Chippewa County in 1906. Occasional sightings have been reported since then. However, until the foundation conducted 8 days of field studies last spring and summer, no serious investigation had been undertaken to confirm the reports. DNA analysis of feces collected by the State of Wyoming Fish and Game Laboratory confirmed that the state had at least 7 cougars, with 5 in the Upper Peninsula. Experts also confirmed that plaster casts from tracks in the area were from cougars and that deer carcasses found in that area showed signs characteristic of cougar kills. Much of the evidence was found along the shoreline of Lake Michigan. Dr. Patrick Ruse, the foundation's director of wildlife programs, believes that the state could be home for up to 30 of the big cats, also called mountain lions. Ruse also expects the evidence to confirm that the cougars are a breeding population and not just escaped pets or transients, but the question remains as to whether cougars migrated back into the state or if they were really ever wiped out in the first place. And we thank the Detroit Free Press for that story.
Thank you, Dennis. Great Bear Rainforest Decision Threatened. On April 4th, 2001, a historic agreement was reached to begin protecting the ecological integrity of BC's Great Bear Rainforest. This agreement, endorsed by the many coastal First Nations, environmentalists, local governments, tourism operators, and logging companies, supports protecting 20 river valleys and a commitment to ecosystem-based management. That'll be the first from a logging company. British Columbia Premier Gordon Campbell is strongly considering not legislating all of the 20 protected areas and will be making his decision this month. Habitat for grizzly bears, spirit bears, wolves, wild salmon, and a host of other wildlife is on the line. It is vital that we act quickly to send a clear message that this consensus agreement must not be undermined. Please send a free fax to the Premier and forward this message to your friends asking that they do the same. Please go to the website at www.raincoast.org, that's RAINCOAST.org, and simply click on the Take Action. That's what we're here for, to take action. This will take you to the Great Bear Rainforest Facts link. It only takes a minute, and that minute could change the future. To contact the Raincoast Conservation Society, their address is Post Office Box 8663, that's 8663, Victoria, V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A, B.C., British Columbia, and the zip code is V. 8W3S2. That's V8W3S2. And the email is greatbear@raincoast.org. Same website. And the tele is area code 250-655-1229. That's 250-655-1229.
And smugglers steal 38 million animals from Brazil's forests. Criminals steal an estimated 38 million animals from Brazil's forests each year, the first full report on animal trafficking in that country shows. The report, produced by Brazil's National Network Against the Trafficking of Wild Animals, estimated that local traffickers of endangered animals earn about $1 billion a year, causing untold losses to the country's natural habitat. Flavia Morad, Arenstes biologist who helped produce the report said the survey was the first that combines all data on animal trafficking in Brazil, a country with the largest number of animal and plant species in the world. Apart from the Amazon, the world's largest tropical forest, Brazil's vast Pantanal wetlands are also home to countless animals and plants. The report said that animal trafficking was the world's third biggest cross-border criminal activity after arms and drug smuggling, with annual global sales of up to $20 billion. The survey, which includes detailed maps of traffickers' routes for their live cargoes of everything from rare parrots to deadly snakes, said just 0.45% of the total amount of animals smuggled each year are intercepted by police. There is a domestic and the foreign market, said Morad. The foreign market is mainly for rare species. Prices fetched abroad vary from $60,000 for a rare Lear's macaw parrot to $20,000 for a poisonous jararaca snake. According to the report, a jaguar skin can be bought for $20,000 in the United States, and parrots and parakeets of all species can be bought throughout Brazil at town fairs and markets, usually taken illegally from their natural habitats. Birds sold usually fetch between $5 and $100, while rare breeds shipped abroad sell for much more. The government, which received a copy of the report, said it was going to extend to other parts of the country an operation underway in the state of Minas Gerais, encouraging consumers not to buy animals at street markets. Environment Minister José Sarney Filho said the report would be a working tool for cracking down on this environmental crime. A government statement said that rising numbers of smuggled animals being found by police before they are sold indicated that its policies are working to clamp down on the problem, but a statement showed the number of animals found had risen from 61,182 last year, up from 23,100 in 1998. But the report warned that animal smugglers are often involved in other activities, such as the drugs trade, indicating they are not just amateur criminals. It said shipments of animals had even been used by drug smugglers to get their wares past borders. In one case, cocaine was found stuffed into live boa constrictors being shipped abroad. Out of an estimated 400 criminal rings smuggling animals, 40% were also involved in other criminal activities. And we thank Axel Bug of the Reuters News Service for that story.
Agreement reached to reestablish critical habitat for endangered Arizona pygmy owl. To head off future litigation and ensure that habitat is protected for Arizona's endangered cactus ferruginous pygmy owl, the Center for Biological Diversity and Defenders of Wildlife have reached an agreement with the United States Fish and Wildlife Service that calls for the redesignation of critical habitat for the owl within 16 months. The agreement was submitted to a federal judge for approval on September 1st. Though scientific petitions and litigation, the center won federal protection for the tiny but fierce owl in 97 and the designation of 731,000 acres of critical habitat in 99. The habitat protection, however, was struck down by technical grounds on 9/21 based on new biological research. We expect the new critical habitat designation to be significantly larger than the previous.
A butterfly has received emergency protection. The Carson Wandering Skipper, a small tawny orange butterfly found only in two U.S. counties, was granted Emergency Endangered Species Act protection last week by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The two skipper populations, one in Washoe County, Nevada, and one in Lassen County, California, face extinction threats from development, grazing, and water export projects, as well as invasion of non-native plants, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service determined. One population of the rare butterfly in Carson City, Nevada, has already been eliminated. We know of only two remaining populations of the skipper, and both sides have pending water export proposals that would likely lower the groundwater and contribute to the loss of saltgrass, the skipper's larval food source, said Robert Williams, supervisor of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's Nevada office. This emergency listing will give us time to consult with agencies and landowners to ensure that the skipper is protected while we evaluate the species for permanent environmental endangered species protection. The emergency rule will provide federal protection for 240 days, during which time federal and state agencies and landowners must consult with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service before taking any action that could impact the species or its habitat. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will use the time to solicit and consider comments on a proposal to provide permanent protection for the skipper and outline a strategy to help its populations recover. The public is invited to comment on the proposal until January 27th of next year. Scientists believe the Carson wandering skipper was more widely distributed in saltgrass habitat than it used to occur between the known populations in California and Nevada, but habitat degradation and fragmentation has altered its historic habitat. The skipper feeds on flower nectar, and females lay their eggs on saltgrass. The butterflies are an excellent indicator of the general health of an ecosystem, said Williams. When we see populations declining, it is often an indication there are environmental problems we need to address to prevent further loss of other species. The skipper was one of 25 species included in a settlement agreement announced by Interior Secretary Gail Norton in August. The agreement required several environmental groups to halt lawsuits against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service over the butterfly and other species, freeing up agency funds that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has used to complete work on evaluations of species that may need protection under the Endangered Species Act, and we thank the Environment News Service for that story.
22,000 acres to be protected for two California plants. Fulfilling a court order won by the Center for Biological Diversity and the California Native Plant Society, the United States Fish and Wildlife Service issued proposed rules to designate and protect 22,054 acres of critical habitat for the purple amole. That's Corlum gallum purpureum, I should take in Latin. On November 8th, and the Neyland Prairie Pennycress, Thypsi californicum, on October 24th. The amole, a member of the lily family, occurs in oak woodland and grassland habitats in Monterey and San Luis Obispo counties. It is threatened by military training, off-road vehicles, fire suppression, cattle grazing, and invasive non-native species. Amole is an Aztec name brought to the United States by Spanish explorers from Mexico. It is also sometimes called a soap plant because Native Americans crushed the underground bulb into a lather with which to glue arrows together. The fibers of the pulp jacket were used to make brushes.
Let's move to Africa. Poachers kill first Kenyan rhinos for 8 years. Poachers have killed four black rhinos in the first attack on endangered animals in the Eastern African country's national parks in 8 years, wildlife authorities said recently. The Kenya Wildlife Service said rangers found the rhino carcasses stripped of their horns in the Tsavo National Park in southeastern Kenya in late November. A full investigation is underway and security has been tightened in all rhino areas, said Joe Kioko, acting director of the Kenya Wildlife Service. Those responsible for killing this endangered animal are being sought and they will be brought to justice, he said. The Kenyan Wildlife Service said there have been isolated incidents of poachers killing rhinos outside of Kenya's national parks, but this was the first time they had ventured into the protected parks in search of their quarry in 8 years. Kenya's black rhino population has fallen from about 460 animals to about 460 animals from an estimated 20,000 animals in 1970, mainly due to poaching. Authorities have managed to control poaching more recently by concentrating the rhinos in smaller areas, making it easier to protect them. The Kenyan Wildlife Service said that in the last 2 decades, Africa's black rhino numbers have fallen by 90%, and the animals are now found only in reasonable numbers in Kenya, Zambia, Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Namibia. And we thank Reuters News Service for that story. And that's about all the time we have for news. If you'd like to get news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's spelled C-R-U-Z-E-F at C-R-U-Z-I-O.com. You can send letters to Earth First Radio. Our address is Post Office Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That address again, Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061, and be sure to send all announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you'd like more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, please subscribe to the Earth First Journal. Their address is P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 3023, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. You can listen to Earth First Radio live on your computer every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Go to the website www.microradio.net/FRSC and listen in. That's www.microradio.net/FRSC. There's lots of great shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz, so tune in anytime. You can always find Earth First Radio archive shows on the World Wide Web at www.radioforall.net. That's www.radio4all.net. Or you can tune in to www.la.indiamedia.org. That's www.la.indiemedia.org and search for Earth First Radio. This was show number 168. Earth First Radio is carried on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Please ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. It's free! This show was produced by the Earth First Radio Collective in the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz. I want to thank the J-Man for helping out tonight. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. I want to thank you for listening to Earth First Radio. Now we're going to listen to Robert Hoyt. This one's off of his new CD called Mind's Eye. And we're going to listen to Swamp.
People think you've been in some mighty wild places, high mountain tops and in wide open spaces. I don't care where you choose to romp, but you ain't seen nothing till you've been in the swamp. Where the black bear frolics and the barred owl talks, some people say that the panther still walks. Watch out for your kids, watch out for your dog. Don't step there, that ain't no log. Swamp, swamp, the swamp is alive. Swamp, swamp, will you survive? Listen to the frogs, then listen to your fear. It says a city living human ain't got no business here. Cottonmouth moccasin come swimming by you. The stories I've heard, well, I hope they aren't true. To die in the swamp ain't no crime. The mosquitoes haul you off and drop them blood at a time. Swamp, swamp, the swamp is alive. Swamp, swamp, we survive. You think you're gonna live, then you know you're gonna die. Cause the wild pig is staring you right straight in the eye. For mercy you beg, cause there's a snake up in the trees big around as your leg.